Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend F23 Frank. How are you?
I'm good. That was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. How are you, buddy?
It's an F23 is a plane, isn't it?
Maybe. I know F14 is an F16.
An F22. I don't know if
I'm not sure about F23. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Doing quite well indeed.
Good.
Are you drinking a beer? Is that what I see there?
I'm drinking a beer.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the beer that I was drinking last episode. I think last episode. Sure.
Is that because we just recorded the last episode like literally 3 minutes ago?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh!
You know why we're doing that? Because I'm going on a little trip.
You're traveling,
I'm traveling to the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Scotland and England over my April vacatione.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're recording a bit ahead of time.
Yes, we are. Getting those episodes ready to go.
Yeah. Also, you get some weeks off with me being gone. It's pretty exciting.
Thank goodness.
Pretty exciting. So, but because I haven't finished my beer yet, I'm still drinking Loose Cannon Hops Cubed IPA from Heavy Seas. It's still delicious.
It is. Yeah, I'm drinking the Winter Storm Imperial ESB, and I'm still enjoying it. And I was expecting, you know, this is an English style bitter, and I thought like, oh, I don't like beers that get too bitter, like. Towards the end of it, I'm usually like, it starts to get warm and it's bitter. I don't like it as much, but I'm still enjoying this quite a bit. So I'm happy with
it. That's good. They're very good. Very good.
Yeah.
I like it's kind of pirate theme. I think when Pirates of the Caribbean 5 comes closer, I would like to have some of these again.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yo ho.
Or just rum.
Or maybe rum.
Or rum.
Yeah, rum.
Yeah.
Because we'll get some Kraken rum.
Oh,
I love Kraken.
I actually have some Kraken rum. Kraken's,
you know what? I'm not
Kraken.
It's crack-a-lackin'. I'm not a rum connoisseur, but I do enjoy.
You know, I'm not either. I don't. Rum kind of sits in your. It's heavy, so it kind of sits in your stomach longer than.
Well, like rum. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know good rum. Like I know good whiskey, I know good beer.
Sure.
I don't know what good rum is.
Kraken is good though. I like Kraken is good. I also like their bottle, which
I do quite like.
Yeah,
the bottle
sometimes the packaging is like me. It's all about the packaging.
Yeah, totally.
Once you unwrap me, there's no substance.
Yeah, no, but
none whatsoever.
But the outside, just judge this book by its cover.
Exactly. By all means.
Five stars.
It's a beautiful cover. Five stars.
Oh, yeah.
iTunes rating. Thank you so much.
Leave us an iTunes review right now if you're listening and say, I judge this book by its cover.
I judged it by its book cover. So anyway, actually, we do have a very nice book cover.
We do, yes.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Our cover art is by my friend Rhiannon, who does amazing, amazing work. So,
Who I follow on the social
interwebs.
Medias.
Yeah, yeah.
I've met her before.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lovely person.
She's a wonderful person.
She is indeed.
Big fan.
So it's been a while,
mm-hmm.
but recently you got to see Logan.
Finally.
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 Finally. It's been so long, I forgot what happened in the movie. Finally.
Oh, so he's an old man.
Caliban knows.
He's an old man,
yes.
And his name is Logan.
Okay.
I kind of wish they'd call it Old Man Logan.
I don't. It would have bothered me.
Yeah. How similar was this movie to Old Man Logan?
Not at all.
Yeah, okay.
Except he's old.
Yeah. Is that it?
And he's in a car.
Is that really it?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah, Old Man Logan is like blind Hawkeye. They go on an adventure.
Oh,
it's
that's
Spider
right.
Girl.
Yeah,
and a T-Rex with a symbiote suit. And the Hulk's children and their hillbillies.
That actually sounds a little too far-fetched for me.
And the Red Skull is president or something.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds. I mean, I'll read it one day, but it does sound a little.
Oh yeah,
a little
it's
out there.
It's like Mark Millar, like balls to the
yeah,
like anything
like,
goes,
yeah.
kind of like see what happens.
But like even like Dark Knight like has some limits of like how crazy things got. Even as crazy as things got in
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, written by Frank Miller.
Yeah.
This is Mark Millar.
I know. I wasn't saying they were written by the same person. I'm just saying another superhero story that takes place in the future where he's old.
Oh,
even even that one had some like restraints.
I did not follow that. I thought you got your Millars and your Millers mixed up.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I know.
I was like,
got it. No.
You're committing comic book blasphemy.
No. I just meant in this other story where there's a hero who's like old in the future.
That one
had some more limitations on it.
Oh, that's in the grand scheme of, I guess, even Old Man Logan, it's pretty realistic. Yeah.
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 It doesn't, apart from Superman, that story doesn't really actually delve into anything unrealistic.
I mean,
as far as superheroes go,
there's the
mutant leader, he's really just a strong guy with pointy nipples. I mean,
yeah,
he's
a punk. He basically just punk.
It's
really
he's a punk. Yeah. It's like they call themselves mutants, but they're not really anything. Yeah.
They just like the Sex Pistols.
Right.
Logan. Yeah. This was for me.
This movie was made for you.
Well, X-Men First Class.
Yep.
And then Logan.
You know, I agree.
And out of all the X-Men universe movies, this is my number two.
I agree. Because there
number
are...
Number two is really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Really enjoyed it.
This one and... So, First Class, to me, is also still the best one.
It's the best one. I put Days of Future Past right under this one.
Me too. I had a hard time between Logan and this one. I think I have to see Logan again before I kind of make my top three. But First Class still wins as top one. What a great movie that is. If that's a movie where you're like, if you need a movie to be like, oh, superheroes are stupid. I feel like First Class is a movie that you can kind of hand them and be like,
yes.
It's not that dumb.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so good.
Yeah. Because it's got enough. It's serious, but it's also fun enough that you can kind of get both of it. Like sometimes handing somebody like, I don't like superheroes, but you hand them Dark Knight. I'm like, it's a slog sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It's just a heavy, heavy movie. And people are kind of, like, sometimes it's too much to wrap up. And if you think superheroes are dumb, handing them something like the Avengers is like, it's not going to change their mind.
Right.
You know? Because it's dumb. It's big and dumb.
I mean, it's if they don't like bombastic, you know, big, crazy, like fighting aliens and destroying cities, like that's like, the Avengers is gonna not gonna help them.
But First Class, Dark Knight, and now Logan, even I think is that film that you can say like, when I say, like, I enjoy superheroes because they have pathos.
Yes.
This is a movie that like this is a movie. This is like, this is why I read comic books, because this is a distillation of like all of the pathos that like we've been reading about for years, or, you know, and like kind of like, and then stuck into this movie. So like you can also understand, the general like X-Men non-favoritist why people love Wolverine or Professor X.
I heard someone say it really, really. I think it was. I want to give credit. I think it was, on the podcast East Meets West. Tom Merritt said, "Comic books are a medium, not a genre, and people get that mixed up sometimes.
Where
they think that comic books are a genre. They think it's all superheroes and blah blah, blah and like very cheesy capes and everything else. Mm-hmm. And while you know Wolverine is a superhero, he's in that genre, like this shows that like that medium can tell all kinds of different stories. It's kind of like when my wife and I first started dating, she said like, why do you know, she had nothing against it, but she was like, why do you like comics so much? Like, what is it about them that you enjoy? And I was like, I like these stories and these characters, and this happens to be the medium that contains those stories and those characters. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, I understand that I get it. That's fine. Like, it's not about like, oh, I like colorful capes and everything. It's about like, I like these characters, and this happens to be the way these stories are told.
Right, because we do love colorful capes and costumes.
I like that too, but that's not what it's about. It's about the characters, the story.
Right, exactly. Because as much as I love Wolverine's blue and yellow costume, I've watched Hugh Jackman in 9 films be Wolverine.
Wow, it really is 9 films, isn't it?
Yeah, and not once has he worn a colorful costume of any kind. A black leather outfit with yellow piping is as close as you've gotten. But he's more Wolverine in this movie, where he wears jeans the whole movie, than anything else. I've seen colorful costumes on screen for 2 hours, walked away and go, That wasn't it. That's not Ghost Rider. That's not Daredevil. That's not Batman.
Right.
That's not Superman. Whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can walk away from that and not recognize that character, even though they're wearing that character's costume.
Right.
And I can walk away from this going, that was Professor Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
That was Logan. That was X-23.
Yeah.
That was Caliban, even. Even if you're like that deep into X-Men lore, you can watch this movie and be like, wow, it's Caliban. That's cool. And that's Caliban I recognize, because that character has shown up a few times in X-Men stories. Actually, he was just in X-Men Apocalypse, and now he's in this one. And
would Stephen Merchant play him in Apocalypse? I didn't see Apocalypse.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't play him. Who was great in this movie, by the way.
Stephen Merchant was fantastic.
He was so good. Because Stephen Merchant, you don't...
He's a comedic actor.
You don't see him in serious stuff very much. But he was unbelievably good.
He was fantastic.
Good. And it took me about 20 minutes to be like, that is Stephen Merchant.
Well, I saw his name.
It has to be.
I saw his name at the beginning.
It has to be.
And so I was like, oh, Stephen Merchant's in this movie. And then as soon as I... So then when I saw him, I recognized him because I knew... I was looking for him. Mm. But if I didn't know, if I hadn't seen his name, I would have been... I probably would have taken longer than you did to notice it.
Yeah. I kind of like settled on it after a while. I was like, I will check later, but I have to know. Like, I'm going to say it is him. So... Let's talk about Logan, the character, not the movie. So we've seen him in 9 films. Some of them very small. I mean, Apocalypse, he was a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds in X-Men First Class. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
that was a good.
It was great. It's great. Yeah. When we discover him in this film, he's sleeping in his limo.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of unwillingly kills all those guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the beginning of that movie.
Not the car.
He's I want to see it again right now. Like, I want to watch it again right now.
Yeah, I do too. I've only seen it once.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
So my conversation about it in some ways is going to be kind of iffy on the in-between because I'm not...
Yeah.
I don't remember all exact plot points.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that I think that I really understood the large themes that they were going for in this film. Like, so it, what appears to be in this film, so the X-Men continuity is all messed up, right? It doesn't really matter.
Forget it.
It doesn't matter. You're like, I recognize this character, just tell me a story. It doesn't really matter.
They tried to fix it with First Class and then they tried to fix it with whatever.
So whatever. Doesn't matter. Which, to the credit of this movie, not once you're like, well, this contradicts this, or this contradicts this. You just watch and you're like, wow, what a great movie.
Yeah.
All movies should, this is the pinnacle.
Well, taking place, you know, 12 years in the future helps too, you know? Like.
Yes, it takes place 5 years after the end of Days of Future Past.
Okay.
They
said 2029.
And Days of Future Past ends in 2024.
Okay, so there you go.
So the stuff that they mentioned, like mutants have been around, and this, like, that future doesn't happen in the timeline that Days of Future Past like says. So, like, that's like, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
a contradiction,
again,
but
it's a contradiction
matter.
Of itself. It doesn't matter because the characters are so strong.
They
sell like this. So I was going to say, they keep mentioning the New York incident, like the Statue of Liberty, whatever. So the first X-Men movie, for whatever reason, you can watch, you can take away or throw away any of these X-Men films. The very first Bryan Singer 2000 X-Men movie is a constant point in the X-Men continuity timeline.
It's a fixed point in time.
That's right. That event, that movie will always happen in the context of all these other movies.
Yes.
And so if you watch that movie with Professor X taking in Logan, forming this kind of father-son dynamic, to then only watch Logan take care of the father, it is that true, like, child reversal, like, you know, metamorphosis.
Just my heart.
When we first see Charles and he's loopy and he's driving around in his chair, my heart broke a little bit.
Oh.
I was real upset. Because
I'll tell you what, I at that moment I felt like we'd already lost him before. Yep. Before, obviously, we're spoiling the hell out of this movie. Before we actually did lose him, mm-hmm. He felt gone already.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because that's a character we've seen played by two actors now.
And
you know, be so strong and all this stuff, but then like you're watching Patrick Stewart, who you also have an affinity for, become that man, and so like hurt, I guess.
That frail, weak, right.
That's what I'm looking for. So, but what I was really taking with Patrick Stewart's performance in this, whether it was whether it was real or not, he felt a little bit like James McAvoy's Professor X. He was a little, I don't really care. I'm just going to say it. I'm a little brash. I'm kind of snarky, you know, like, and you know, like the older we become, we either become the best or worst version of ourselves, or we kind of regress to another stage of our lives. And I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but he really channeled McAvoy's version of Professor X. So there really is this really strong sense of continuity between all of these films.
I agree.
Within his performance, one of the best of his career. Then I've seen Patrick Stewart in a bunch of stuff. Shakespeare, not sure. Shakespeare, whatever.
Sure.
This was one of the best performances I've ever seen him deliver. And I don't hope that goes unnoticed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Oscar, because it's a superhero movie and that so very rarely happens.
But you know what? When it's a good performance, it's a good performance. And like, you know, that Oscar superhero movie bias notwithstanding, I feel like this was a really, really...
So strong movie.
Strong performance.
Yeah. I feel like the third act of the film dips a little bit.
So, in terms of what?
It just takes a little too long to get to that...
Pacing?
It's the pacing. It takes a little bit too long to get to that climactic battle, which I liked the strip down of it. I love that this movie's not about saving the world or about... either the destruction of this thing or the universe or whatever. It's just about these people.
Yeah.
It's a very human story about people in there. It's one of those movies that sometimes people hate, you know, like nothing happened in the movie. You know, it's like, you know, it's about character. Well, it's about character growth.
Development. Yes. It's a character study, but you know, people just say that about like Mad Men. They're like, oh, nothing ever happened on the show. Like, they're just walking around and talking. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's more about the characters than it is about, like, what happens.
Right.
But you can't really argue nothing happened in this movie.
No, like, tons happened.
Tons happened,
but,
right?
But you know what I mean? Like, if some people, like, you know, Thanos didn't come down trying to find the Infinity Stones.
Yeah,
you
okay,
know what
like,
I mean?
The whole world wasn't in danger, but, like...
Right.
But that
doesn't seem to turn anybody off from this movie, which is what I think is really...
Right.
Which is what, you know, because it's a fine line... To grasp when you say we're gonna make an X-Men movie, we're gonna make the last Wolverine movie, and you know what I mean, and it's very stripped.
Right, because when you say we're making the last movie with this character, it's like, oh wow, like there must be epic proportions, epic stakes, and everything. And it's like, no, actually, he's just gonna like take one girl to North Dakota. That's it.
Right.
That's what's going to happen in this movie.
Right.
And, you know, you're right. Like, it's pretty small stakes in the grand scheme of things.
And that's what I liked about
but
it.
But I loved it. For
and
that.
I think that's actually where the Wolverine went wrong. The Japanese story. Like, it was, I think it was strong for those first two acts because it was this type of movie, this stripped down human story about this man's loneliness and his need to die and all of this stuff. And then it went balls to the walls comic.
Yeah.
At the, like, you know, at the end with like giant metal samurai and like all the, and that I think that actually took away from the impact of the rest of the film. So this one, I was really glad to see that follow through all the way, even if that means the pacing was a little like, I just need to get to North Dakota a tiny bit faster.
Yeah. I'll agree with you that it could have been faster. It didn't. So I've been gushing so much, but I felt like the movie was really good at like, it just never stopped really. Like there was a little bit of a lull there in Act 3, but
when they went to the farm,
but I really liked the farm stuff.
I really do too. I think this farm stuff worked better here than say in the Avengers.
Oh, in Age of Ultron?
In Age of
Ultron.
Yeah,
I agree.
So it's not always good
better.
When superheroes go to the farm.
Not always good.
It doesn't always work.
This was really good, though.
This was really
this
good.
Really
not
good.
That it didn't work in Age of Ultron, too. It just didn't work to the same extent that it
this
worked here.
This worked better.
Yeah.
I was really, like, when they were all laughing after dinner and everything, I was like, they're like a family.
Yeah.
Like even Logan and Laura and Charles, I was like, they all fit. They're having one just little moment of normalcy for a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even Charles says that this was the
most perfect
night of my life.
Yeah.
In a long time. And it's funny. I was so wrapped up into that family scene.
Yeah.
And everything that happened. It didn't even occur to me that something bad was going to happen at
like,
that moment.
And when you think back on it, it was obvious.
So obvious. And both of us are usually really good at pointing that stuff out because we know this genre.
We know the beats. We know what to look for.
We know film. we know the beats, and I wasn't paying attention.
Me neither. I was so like wrapped up in like how cool, how nice this family seemed, and how if anything, I was looking at the way that Laura was looking at the son there, and yep. I was like, ooh, what's going on there? What's she looking at him like that? Yeah. I was distracted by the wrong things. I was looking at the wrong things because I was so wrapped up in how nice they all seemed and how just how what a beautiful moment that was for all of them.
I agree. Yeah. You know, speaking of being wrapped up in things, I want to go back to the beginning of the film. When this trailer came out, we kind of did a trailer wrap up. There were a few that came out. Do you remember that?
Yes.
From a while ago. And I put out there that it looked like Professor X, it looked like Logan was caring for Professor X inside a hauled out Cerebro, which turned out not to be true. It was just a water tank or an oil tank. But I was just reading online that was on purpose here because he's in the hollow water tank because it's dampening his power, which is one of the reasons that one of the reasons that he's kept there. But all these holes in the tank are meant to look like Cerebro it's on. So Professor X, at the height of his power, you know, at the height of his goodness, even using Cerebro to help all these fellow people. So now all these lights shining through are meant to kind of remind him of his past that he can never recapture, which is really cool and really sad. Yeah. And I think I got that when I was watching the film, but I couldn't articulate it. I had to wait for the production designer to be like this.
Yeah. Good catch though on your part.
Yeah. Because it looked like Cerebro, you know, like I was like, oh, it's Cerebro, and it wasn't, but I got it then. And then I kind of dropped the ball along the way. but I'm glad I was kind of right. Then somehow, you know, movies like this, things are not done by accident. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really like about this movie. The things have like, you know, the colors and the setting and, you know, even like them crossing, even going from Mexico to the United States to Canada.
Yes.
You know, this immigration crossing the border where we're looking for sanctuary. These are all things that are so very important in our world right now. Yeah, they're so very, very important in our world right now that like this when they were making the film, these things were not happening. But it just right time, right place, you know, it goes sometimes these things happen, serendipity happens. But a life finds a way to make movies seem more relevant.
Yeah.
So anyway, in production design purposes, like these things are not accidental.
No, they very seldom are.
Even Wolverine going to Canada, the place of his birth, like he's got it, you know what I mean? Like,
that's
even
right.
Things
that's
like
right.
That in the story, like he's going home to die, whereas X-23, where Laura's going to his home to live, which is in the weird way her home because she's a partial clone of him.
Yes.
And you know, like there are these things that make up. Even I loved her turning the cross into an X. Because I think that was cool, and it could have been bad.
Yeah,
but it wasn't.
Could have been cheesy.
It could have been cheesy.
Yeah,
Taken from an X-Men comic, apparently.
Really?
That it's from a cover. I can't remember who, but the James Mangold talked about pulling that directly from a cover.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm. I really liked the. So I just used my one look up here, because I wanted to know what was the Western, the old movie they were watching in the hotel room at the casino that then
Shine. It was Shine.
It
right?
was Shane.
Shane.
1953
so
classic
close.
Western Shane, famous for its contributions to cinema and westerns, featuring Alan Ladd as the titular character. Alan Ladd.
Aladdin.
Nope.
No. Right.
Father of Alan Ladd Jr., who was the head of 20th Century Fox, who made sure that Star Wars happened.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He was the one that was in with Lucas and was well, I'll talk to the board and make sure you get money.
Sure.
When they were all like, this space movie is going to cost us money. And he was like, let Lucas do his thing.
That George Lucas biography got you is real good, isn't it?
It is good. Yeah. It's real good. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I loved it.
I got to start from the beginning because I'm halfway through at Christmas and then I got so busy I had to read other stuff and I have to restart it.
It's real good. It's real good. You'll like it.
I know. Well, I'm halfway through it. That's what I bought it for you. So,
But yes. So Shane, I really liked the the way that that carried through when they were watching it, you know.
It's funny, I forgot that that was a thing until you mentioned it.
So there was that whole. So they're in the hotel room at Harrah's Casino, and they're watching it, and Charles is like, "Oh, I was your age when I first saw this," to Laura, you know, and there's this whole scene where they talk about moving on and. Mm-hmm. How people are safe now, and we've done what we came to do, and everyone here, there's no more guns, everyone's gonna be safe, it's gonna be fine, and you can tell it's gonna be significant.
Yep.
And it was a very moving moment as it was happening. And then at the end of the film, when Logan dies, Laura, at like his little memorial service they have for him, she quotes back the whole like soliloquy from the movie.
She's a smart little kid, because she only saw that movie once.
And she quotes back the entire, you know, monologue that character has about how everything's gonna be safe now and everything's gonna be good, and you know, we did what we came to do and everyone's gonna be fine. And it's just so, like, never even having seen that movie, I bet if I had seen that movie it would mean 10 times more to me than it did. Sure. But I was just so touched by it and mm-hmm. like really moved by it because of just what a beautiful symmetry there and how that mm-hmm. came back around and had such meaning. Very powerful.
Speaking of Laura, tell me your thoughts about her action sequences, her characterization.
That little girl's a badass.
Yeah, she is.
That girl was amazing.
Use those foot claws.
Yeah, the foot claws, dude.
Yeah.
The freaking foot claws.
Did you know that I mean, because you're not a big X-Men guy.
No,
so
I didn't know that was going to happen.
So that was quite a surprise.
That was a complete surprise.
Yeah.
I was like, he doesn't have those, right?
No, that's why she's got two. She's got two and then the one. Yeah.
Yes.
It's great.
That was super cool.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
I feel
cool.
like that hurts more than the hand one. I think there's something about it.
Yeah, like between your toes, like ooh,
just popping out between your toes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming to say hello.
Yeah.
Into your brain.
Yeah. There, I mean,
I love when she walks out, she just tosses the head. And she's like,
yes, yes.
We've been through this before, Amigos.
Guys, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amigos. Yeah. Oh, it was so, like, she was fantastic. She was outstanding. The way she played off of, you know, the two male counterparts that were there, Logan and Charles, for most of the movie, like, mm-hmm. was just fantastic. And she, without saying a word for 90% of the film, she delivered so much.
Yeah, she did. It's a talented little kid.
Very, very talented.
Very talented little kid. I liked. I really enjoyed her dynamic with Charles.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, he was a nonagenarian. Is that what he is? 90s?
Yeah.
I like that. Oh, the world's most famous octogenarian.
Nonagenarian.
Yeah. That was the McKay, that's the McAvoy coming out.
Yeah. A little bit of snark.
Yeah. I enjoyed their trio dynamic because it really was like grandfather, father, daughter,
yes,
like the whole way through family. It was like family dinner, family road trip.
Yeah, this is my dad, Chuck.
So bad. That was
that was great. I liked the self-driving trucks thing.
Apparently some of those already exist.
They're starting to be piloted, sort of. Yeah,
and it's a scary thing. This movie told me that is scary.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked, I don't know, there was a part of me that wished that Sabretooth was in the film.
Okay.
Because.
Explain.
Sabretooth is so wrapped up into Logan's whole story that it in some ways feels incomplete that he wasn't wrapped up at the end as he was in his beginning.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking full circle for all of these, if this movie is really about Logan coming, you know, to an end to complete his life cycle, then Sabretooth plays a huge part in that cycle from the very beginning. And so it felt a little strange, not to have him there. And I know mm-hmm. they went to Liev Schreiber, who played him in Wolverine Origins, a terrible film, but he was actually good in it.
Yeah.
But it felt, I guess, it was going to be like he was in Vegas or something like that, and they went to him for help. But at that point, it would have felt like, oh, look who's also here.
Yeah, it would have been a little put on, yeah.
But I was expecting, so when X-24 kind of rolls around and does his younger Wolverine cloned thing, I kind of expected that to be Sabretooth.
Okay. Yeah.
But I like that it was younger clone Logan who like needed the injection to heal and stuff like that. That actually just proved to me that Hugh Jackman still has it and can play a younger Wolverine if totally. He really wanted to.
Totally.
Which after this film, I call it quits. I don't care what kind of money they offer you. Like, yeah. This is the highest of high notes that you can end
on. Yeah, I don't want him to do it again. Like, I actively don't want him to do it again because I feel like I've seen the best you're going to do.
Yep.
I don't even want you to chance it.
You're the best there is at what you do.
You're the best
what you do
around.
Is play Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a paraphrase. If you were an X-Men fan, you would have gotten it.
I didn't because I'm not.
But. So in the 80s, when Frank Miller was writing Wolverine, he wrote a little dialogue, inner monologue box that said, I'm the best at what I do, and what I do isn't very nice. And that took off in quite possibly the worst way. So almost every single Wolverine comic since then starts with, I'm the best at what I do, and what I do isn't very nice.
Oh, okay.
So what I said, what I did was a paraphrase on that.
Let's play Wolverine, I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it really is, though. I mean, it really is like it's like the pinnacle of his Wolverine acting career. And it's so great that he went out on a high note.
And it was one of his best, I think it was one of his best performances, not just as Wolverine, but as Hugh Jackman.
Ever, yeah.
It's one of the best things he's turned in.
So I agree. And I'm really glad that he left this character on a high note. And I hope that they let him leave it that way. I hope that they don't.
I mean, they can't force him back. He has no contract.
No, and you're right. But, you know, if they back up the money truck for a cameo or whatever.
So,
like,
so there was an interview with James Mangold, and he was asked, did Fox come to you and be like, gonna have the Rocks like rumble a little bit?
Yeah.
And there was nothing from Fox.
Yeah.
Like, no. End it.
Yeah.
Do it. And so I don't think they're gonna touch Wolverine for a little while. Let him have it
at some point though.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. Wolverine, but they should.
Like, yeah.
Wolverine existed long before Hugh Jackman and he will exist long afterwards.
It's just gonna be real hard after these performances and after this performance in particular.
I agree.
You know, it's a lot to live up to.
But I agree. But give him some space. But you should
give it some space.
But you should definitely move forward with another Wolverine eventually.
But it's like Christopher Reeve. It's like, if you're going to move on, like, be sure that all the pieces are in place and that it's really ready before you do it again.
Because
you just saw like the pinnacle.
Right.
That's
exactly.
All I'm saying. That's all
exactly.
I'm saying.
Just
give it some space and make sure.
But just make sure that it's ready. Although that's a yes and no with Christopher Reeve, because Christopher Reeve's last film was Quest for Peace. And that is definitely not the pinnacle.
He didn't go out on a high note.
No.
But he was the best. You know, he was like.
He was it.
Yeah.
For a long, long time.
Yeah.
But it's a slightly different world we live in now, too, where we're
it's
much
a very
more. I mean,
world.
Like,
yeah,
how long
yeah,
was
agree.
It between Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield?
Not
and between
enough.
Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's slightly
Sony's
different.
Sony's a whole different thing. They're just messed up in a whole different way. Have you seen that thing where the Weekly Planet talked about this, another podcast we both enjoy? Where the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer is like a metaphor for the way that Sony has misdealt with Spider-Man.
Oh, no. Is it their latest podcast? Is it on their latest one? I haven't listened to it yet. I'm currently listening to the 45-hour-long audiobook of It.
Oh,
by
Stephen
King.
King.
Yeah, because I saw that trailer.
Is it really 45 hours?
45 hours.
I've never listened to a book that was longer than like 18 hours.
Yeah, 45. And I'm 40. I have about 40 hours left.
Oh, left. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's real good.
Cool.
It's real good.
Cool.
So no, I haven't listened to that yet. So what do they say about Sony? And it's just like a metaphor for
there's a video that like explains the whole thing.
I will go and
check
watch
it out.
Video.
Yeah, but it's a very funny concept that like the Homecoming trailer like is the saga of Sony messing up Spider-Man.
That's
down to the ship being torn in half and everything. Like
yeah. And so Iron Man is Marvel.
Yes,
coming to save
in, Kevin Feige coming in saving the day.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just be like the neighborhood Spider-Man?
And
just
him,
like
so
do it, cool things.
Right.
No, I need to save this ship. Like,
and so him taking away the suit is Marvel being
like let
look,
us handle
we'll,
this.
Let us handle this. We will do this for you.
And then if they do this movie right, they get the suit back.
Okay.
Yeah. See.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
And sadly accurate.
It's sadly accurate.
All right. Anyway, you can find us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com and Facebook and Twitter. You can rate and review us on iTunes and all other places that podcast can be found. You can find us on Frank and I on Supergirl TV Talk, where we talk about CW's hit show Supergirl. You can also find Frank and his wife Marissa on The Marketers Next Door, all under our Thought Bubble Audio campaign.
That's right. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Satchel Podcast Player. Did you know that if you talk to your, I almost said it, the Amazon lady who lives in a tube, I don't want to say it out loud and trigger someone's thing to talk to them, but if you talk to it and you say, play Beer with Geeks from TuneIn, she will play Beer with Geeks from TuneIn.
Wow. That's cool.
You can talk to her and she'll play your podcast.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
That is very cool. All right. Well, until next time.
Cheers.